Hey, Jeff here. If you like the podcast, you might dig this. Dan Hodgins is going to join Lisa Murphy and I for 3 gigs in 2018. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin. We're calling it the Talking Play Tour because that's what we're going to be doing, talk and play. You can learn more at playvolutionhq.com/events. Hope to see you there. Everybody needs to take a deep cleansing breath. We're back with another play types. This is number four, social play. Lisa says this is a tough one. So I think we all need to take a big long cleansing breath. Maybe a little om there before we get started. Kind of ease our way into this. So let's recap a little bit. We've been through symbolic play and rough and tumble play and sociodramatic play, and now we're moving on to social play. This is all Bob Hughes stuff. He's a UK dude. What's tough about this one, Lisa?
Well, here's the definition. This is play during which the rules and criteria for social engagement and interaction can be revealed, explored, and amended. And the example provided is any social or interactive situation which contains an expectation on all parties that they will abide by the rules or the protocols, such as games, conversations, or making something together. So within sociodramatic play, kids pretending to act out mommy, daddy, house, family situation, they can also at the same time be engaged in social play, which is following the rules, essentially, rules, quote, rules of whatever that game is in order to keep everything moving ahead.
And so before we got this episode started, we were kind of play podcasting with grandbaby Rowan, and I mean that had some. You got to follow podcast rules when you're talking. We all had our headsets on. We're talking to the microphones. We're taking turns in the conversation. So there's some.
Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. And so there's some built-in rules there. So that's social play.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Peter Gray touches on this when he talks about how children will put their own self on pause. You know, kind of curb some of their own spontaneous instincts in order to keep the play going, knowing that if they always just tried to get their way, people eventually would leave.
Yeah, and that's you talk about executive function
and just that
stuff. It's a huge part of this play. Now, those rules, those are created by the players?
Correct.
And so if the adult in the room who's not part of the play tries to create the rules, is it really social play anymore?
No, it's being interrupted.
Right? Yes. Throwing a wrench into things there.
So one of the ways we support social play is to, probably all these other kinds of play, is not to, as the adult in the room, not to insert ourselves into that play without an invitation.
There you go.
Yes.
And then when invited, be kind of very mindful about
of not taking it over.
About how we engage.
I think probably if we thought about it, everybody could share an example of when they saw the children change the rules of the game to accommodate either a new thing or a new situation or a new person entering the play. You know, the family only had two sisters, but then somebody wants to join, so now magically there's three sisters. Mm-hmm. That would be a definite example of social play.
Yeah, it was back in the day. It was running around the neighborhood. We would be playing stuff, and then somebody'd have to go. I mean, have to go clean the room or something, and so we had to
rewrite the script. We were just joined by Pod Dog.
Fucking dog.
Sorry. This is the music. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Gigi, you're see now what see this doesn't help.
Gigi the Wonder Dog likes to tangle up the cords.
Just dip. Go. Just go.
And now she thinks you're playing.
I know.
You've engaged in rough and tumble play.
I had my play face on. Back in the day, and so we'd like write people out of the play and then write them back in when they got to come back and that kind of stuff. And I mean those were times when we had these. I mean we had all summer long, and so we'd come back to that same scenario, that same play theme, those same characters over and over again, and edit the rules based on the time we had and the people that were there in that particular time and those kind of things.
Yeah, I like the amended part. I enjoy watching how children will negotiate new situations.
Well, yeah, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. When we took our break there, Rowan was trying to negotiate some playing in the pond play with Lisa. Except
and
Lisa didn't want to.
My belly was full.
Lisa didn't want to play in the pond. And
I had a little smash burger coma.
And so Rowan's trying to create rules, come and touch the pond with me, and then amending them to trying to entice Lisa, and it's just not working out for her. But then that all evolved into the podcast play eventually. So
she knew how to get you in.
How to suck you
put
in.
Put a microphone in front of Lisa's face.
She'll eventually sit in her chair, and then we can play pod.
Right, exactly, play pod.
I got it.
So I don't think this was necessarily a tricky one, but I think I would like to explore whether or not social play exists outside of, like, this. Could social play exist within all of these plays? Like, on some level, does social play, is it always like a sub play to these other play types?
Well, maybe
is that too big of a thought?
Well, no, maybe the way we approach it is, can we think of a type of play where it's not?
Where it's not.
I mean, in block play, there when you step back and look at it, there always seems to be some sort of narrative going along behind or in addition to the building of
the thing.
The whatever. They're either city architects or they're this's or they're that's, or there's some narrative there in those kinds of play a lot of the time. In the art center at the easel, there's kids, I mean, as they're painting, they're creating narrative. They've got that, they're engaged in that play. Now, can social play
exist?
Can it be singular? Can you engage in social play by yourself?
I am not sure.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Any social
also.
Or interactive situation which contains an expectation on all parties that they will abide by the rules. No, I think that you got to have somebody else with you that one.
But then, so what is the child that is playing? Playing house by themselves. That's not social play?
See, yeah.
Abiding by the mental, your own mental models,
yep,
your own
yep.
rules of
or,
what
or,
that
or
looks
since
like.
There isn't anybody else there, does that make it something else?
I don't know.
We got to get Bob on the phone.
Have
Bob?
Have you ever watched a child like almost negotiate with themselves about or stretch their own idea?
Well, yeah, are they working something out by themselves?
I don't
know. Without, you know, they're thinking, well, I'd like to play this, or they saw it being played out, and so they're trying to recreate it by themselves.
Or but there's the times when they're playing with the other characters are all imaginary, and so is that some sort of negotiation and social thing going on? Oh, play is so complicated.
I think I would err on the side of
we haven't got to it yet. Maybe that falls under imaginary play.
I think social play
is
a group.
Yeah.
It's a group. There are rules and we're agreeing to follow them or to change the rules to keep the play moving ahead.
We used to do this. Well, okay, so you're talking about, does this fit into everything? We used to, in the neighborhood, there's a vacant lot down the street, and we get together and play kickball or t-ball or whatever it was, and we always had to negotiate those rules because, sure. You know, you got to figure out the teams, and I mean, the teams are a little bit lopsided. Maybe somebody gets, one team gets four outs instead of three outs or those kind of things, and so there's always those negotiations and renegotiations going on because somebody's got to go home and, you know, can we keep the ball or you got to take the ball with
and
you?
And the baby brother decides he wants to join, so the pitcher has to modify,
yeah.
you know, the toss and
yeah,
that
all
kind
of that stuff is going
buy-in.
On.
Yeah.
And so there's even a lot of social play going on in those team game activity. Well, that was mentioned in the definition, I guess, but
or even, I think even just basically, if you pull out a Monopoly game, you know, agreeing that there's rules here, you know.
Yeah, and if you're going to have house rules, you agree to that before you get the game going. With the games, especially outside playground type games, where we fall short, I think a lot in schools and early learning is in so many settings. Those are activities that end up being led by an adult, and that adult becomes the arbiter of the rules. And that takes...
Now we're back to depriving children of the opportunity to figure some things out by themselves.
The opportunity to develop the skills we complain that they don't have.
Exactly. Boom! Drops mic.
Woohoo.
Time for a cocktail. And yet we keep doing it. So maybe one of the ways we support this is, like we've talked about with other stuff, is we step back a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. End of episode.
The dog is licking the grease off the grill, so I'm slightly distracted here.
I think so.
Make it sexy.
I think this one, actually, now that we've talked about it, is probably a little more cut and dry than I had thought about.
Not as complicated.
Being willing
as
to follow the literal and figurative rules of the game. And being willing to modify them, explore them. And I think we've also probably all witnessed children spending more time negotiating the rules of the game or of the thing
and
little time actually executing it. And Bruno Bettelheim reminds us that negotiation is more important than the drama that actually gets played out.
Yeah, the pre-drama is the important part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that used to go on. I mean, sometimes those negotiations and that planning and that rulemaking would go on for big blocks of time before the play would actually settle in.
So if you only have 20 minutes of play time in the classroom... You know.
Yeah, and so again, that goes
why
back
even
to
bother starting why bother? Something.
When we talk about how to support this, one of the big things again, we go back to time. Big hunks of time, because if we want them to be creators and negotiators of the rules for their play, we have to give them the tools that they need to do that, and control over the time is a big hunk of that. How do we support children who don't have any practice doing this?
Give them opportunities to practice it.
So we just toss them into the space and
well, I think there's some elements of observation that have to happen. You know, is it that they need somebody? I mean, is this an opportunity for direct instruction? Hey, you know, this I heard them say that in this game, this is what the rules are. You know, if you're wanting to be the puppy and it's time for the puppy to take a nap, then you have to lay down and pretend. You know, I watched there was somebody had posted a Vygotsky YouTube thing about how during play the child was told that his character was sick. So he had to lay there and be sick until the people who were going to save him did. And this was a child who usually couldn't be still ever, but would suspend that for a minute. Because the rule of the game was, if you're sick, you got to wait for the people who are going to make you better to come find you.
Yeah, yeah, and the child who has the opportunity to do that when they're 3 and 4 is going to be the child who can manage to stand in the lunch line when they're 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And so I mean, more opportunities for this kind of play is vital in the early years when we yell and scream and whine and fuss about school readiness.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of pushing alphabet letters and numbers and colors and all that other crap on them, giving them the chance to develop these skills is where they should be spending their time. But of course, most of our listeners are 100% on point with this.
I think it behooves us every now and again to step back and make a list of the things that we feel that children, you know, need to. What are those skills that we want them to have? Like forget the readiness thing for a minute. I like to ask people at the end of the day, how do you want your child to be described? You know, how would you want to know that somebody was thinking about your kid? What are they bringing to the table? What descriptive words are they using? And then work backwards from that. You know, nobody ever says, I want my kid to be a straight-A student. Nobody ever says, I want them to get into Harvard. They say, I want them to be happy and healthy and responsible and trustworthy and all of that. So if you take that list and then work backwards of, well, what does the environment have to look like in order to get that? Really unpacking these play types allows us to really see that when we say that playing is the foundation, it's way more technical than I think we sometimes realize.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think there's room for us to almost remind ourselves of the value of this, of like even your lunchtime example that you just threw out there. You know, oh my God, they never stand in line. They can't wait. Well, but because nobody ever gave them the opportunity to figure it out. It's not that they're wanting to be defiant little brats. It's that we took the opportunity for
them to work it out.
For them to work it out. Mm-hmm. So if we're stating it's a goal and we know that this kind of play inherently leads to that thing happening, why are we not allowing it?
Exactly.
Why are we not allowing it?
I think too many people don't realize that play
is vital.
Is actually doing what we say we want. But it doesn't look like anything.
So they don't realize play is capable of
being the vehicle.
Being the vehicle for all of these important, essential.
We say we want it. We know that this will make it happen for the most part, but yet we still don't let them do it. Makes me crazy. Absolutely crazy.
You know what? We should start a podcast and talk about this stuff and kind of.
Maybe you could go out and speak on it too.
You could write a book.
Maybe some sort of evangelical kind of play kind of thing going on.
You're funny.
Yeah. Well, I know. I've been told. So, what more we got on this one?
I think if we keep talking about it, we're going to start repeating ourselves, and we're going to end up overthinking it. You know, you started itching your nose, and now I'm itching my nose. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I just had some sweat that I was wiping away before it ran into my nostril, if we're going to have full disclosure. So
my allergies are bugging me.
I feel like I got a little, like a bug now flew up my nose.
Oh, put your head up.
Oh,
stop it.
Oh, it's a cicada.
The dragonfly. It's a cicada. It's huge.
Oh, man. Hey, people, just a little bit behind the scenes information. Since we're podcasting outside, we were setting up. I had to go back to the old school mics that aren't as good as the in-studio mics because they pick up too much sound.
Oh. The new good mics.
So we went back to the old mics because this morning I had the good mics out and I was I could hear the other side of my pond about 40 feet away from where we're sitting. I could hear a dragonfly fart and... And we don't
and it went faster then.
We don't want to. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit.
Left little ripples in the pond.
Oh, my stem.
Hey, this has been the Childcare Barn Girl podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show. Thanks for putting up with us. We appreciate you. Back soon with another episode. Bye bye.
Catch you later.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.